Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One of the great voices in rock history, pop history, whatever kind of history you want, Paul Zeiss. Yours from yesterday, of course, but also Linda Ronstadt. You agree?
Agree. Absolutely agree. It's amazing how many people, you know, I'm used to like being on at night, you know, in crazy hours where nobody's listening.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people heard me singing Hearts on Fire yesterday.
I got a lot of feedback.
Yeah. You know?
You got to get used to that. And you should sing more. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I'm just saying it. That was funny.
And fun. City Limits is to my left. Paul Zeiss sitting in Ron Cook's old chair. Here today, I have a severe case of pre-vacation elation. I'm going to Florida at a 5:50 a.m. flight. My wife and my daughter are coming with me. I'm going to play golf. They're going to go to the beach. I'm going to go to the beach. And then I'm going to play more golf.
That's
for the next
nice.
5 days, which yeah. means you're doing the show yeah. by yourself, which you just found out about.
Do you? Yeah. Do you? Yeah, exactly. Do you? Do you have all your golf rounds set up, tee time set up, and everything else?
Yes, but I just discovered. Here's the question: I just discovered a few of the courses are like 40 miles away from our hotel.
Wow.
Do I rent a car or do I spend my entire paycheck on Ubers? Which would you do?
Rent. I'd rent a car. Yeah.
Yeah?
Where are you flying into?
Fort Myers. We're going to see yeah. Ron on Friday night.
There you go.
I'll buy him some free and some free light.
Free and free light. So I would say that you probably, if you do the math,
yeah,
probably should rent a car.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I hate the hassle of it, though.
Yeah. Where is Fort Myers? Is that where? So you'll fly. You fly right into Fort Myers, or do
yeah.
you fly into like Tampa or something?
Fort Myers, and then go over to Marco Island. Might go to a Pirate game. We're 2 hours away from Miami.
Yeah. Why not? Go to the opener. Go to the Saturday game.
I want to work it around Bailey Falter's first start.
Yes.
To make that pilgrimage.
Yeah. Maybe Mark Gardo will give you some tickets.
Maybe he will. That would be gigantic. How are you doing today? City Limits, everything
doing
well?
Great. Yeah, everything is well.
Glad to hear that. Yesterday was unbelievable. We had a good time and also raised money for a great cause, the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. The last I checked from our friend Brian Gulish, he tweeted last night, it was something like 300,000 meals provided. And I think the important thing to know is that today's another day. Text need to 50155. You know, yesterday was a big, huge event, but that doesn't take away the need today. It's like, you know, the day after a wedding or something where, okay, life still goes on here today. So stay involved is what I would say. And you said your basketball team last night took up a challenge to raise more money. What happened?
Yeah, so we had someone who wanted to be anonymous who basically said he's going to donate money, and he would like us to make – he would like it to be from our team, and he would like our team to – you know, me to come up with a way for them to earn the money, so to speak. So we had shooting challenges, and I assigned $3 donation per three-pointer made, a $2 donation per two-pointer made, right? And then a $50 donation from the volleyball line and a $100 donation from the half-court line.
How many half-court shots went
in? Three.
Nice.
Yes. So we made, we ended up raising $1,200.
Beautiful.
And of course, the girls were really happy. And I think the most important thing about it, Joe, it gave me an opportunity to talk to them about why it's so important to do things like that.
Yeah.
You know, like for the most part, the players on our team, you know, they're from families that are, you know, okay or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't have to worry about food insecurity, so to speak. So it's important to sort of instill that when they're young. Like, hey, you know what? Not everybody has it like you. And so it was good. It was a really good opportunity for me to be able to talk to them about that. And then they were really excited and, you know, in fact, the girls were like, boy, that's a lot of pressure. We need to make these shots to make sure we raise money. You know what I'm saying? I said, well, that's part of it, too. I mean, we got to get better at making shots.
That's so great, man. And kudos to whoever was behind that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was. He wants to be anonymous, so I'll keep him anonymous. By the way.
Yeah.
I just looked this up for you. It looks like you can get... looks like between $250 and $300 if you rent a car for the entire week.
What kind of car for $250 or $300?
Fort Myers.
With wheels?
In Fort Myers. In Fort Myers. Let's see. Compact car, Nissan Versa.
Beautiful.
Something like that.
Am I supposed to get insurance on rental cars, or is that a ripoff? Is that a good idea or a bad idea to get the daily insurance per day? I never know.
Well, it depends. I mean, what you need to do is check with your... personal car insurance if rental cars are covered, because some of them do. If not, if you go on one of these travel sites, and here's the thing, if you go on one of these travel sites, they offer you insurance that's a lot cheaper.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna drive.
You know what I mean?
Like
if you reserve your car on one of these travel sites, like Orbitz or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get your insurance. Like I was in Florida a few weeks ago to visit my parents. The insurance at the rental car place was like $18 a day. The insurance through Orbitz was like $9 a day.
Did you see Ron on that trip?
No, I was on the other coast.
So,
I was on the Atlantic.
You could have made the gesture. Ron's waiting for somebody to visit him down there. I think he's lonely.
I don't think he wants to see anybody but you.
Yeah, that might be true.
And Joe Namath.
Well, Joe Namath isn't far from him. Based on our experience last week down at the casino when we did a show during the NCAA tournament, I have a feeling that Paul would not turn down a six-pack right now, city limits. So why don't we crack one for him and for Ron, a toast to our old friend Ron. It's a Wednesday morning six-pack. You ready, Paul?
Yep, go ahead.
Topic number one today. Cordarrelle Patterson and the new kickoff rule. Paul, I like Cordarrelle Patterson. I loved him a couple of years ago. But, you know, I keep hearing people are going crazy over this, over his resume. I mean, Mel Gray was a great kick returner too, but he hasn't been in the league for 15 years. Are you excited about this?
Well, my problem is that teams have figured out, and they'll figure it out with this new kickoff. They've figured out how to sort of make the kick returner almost obsolete, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They find ways to kick. And so if this guy, first of all, he's old.
He's 33. He's been in the league almost since the station came into existence.
So let's start there. But secondly, if for instance, he starts to go off early in the season, they're going to find ways to kick it around him.
Here's the way to kick it around him. Hold on a second. Give me another six-pack, because this is technically another topic. Plus, we save one. What am I missing with the new kickoff rule? If it's only if you kick it out of the end zone, the other team gets it as at the 30.
Right.
So why won't teams still kick it all out of the end zone every single time? What am I missing?
I agree, especially if you're especially if you have the choice between kicking it short and having a guy like this maybe run it back to the 35 or 36.
Right.
You know, and the reality is if you look at the way the kickoffs are designed, they're going to get to the 20 no matter what.
No matter what.
If you kick it to them, they're going to get to the 20. So probably 22, 23, 24 is where the average, you know what I mean? Well, you're talking about 5 yards and not having the danger of a guy running it back.
We've spent the last 10 years watching every kicker kick it out of the end zone. I don't know why that wouldn't continue. they keep saying this is the XFL kickoff. No, it's not. The XFL kickoff, if you kick it out of the end zone, goes to the 35. To me, that's a bit. Now we're talking 10 yards more
right
than what we've been watching for 10 years. I think they screwed this up by only making it that by the one thing they changed from the XFL is instead of the 35, you get it at the 30. So tell me what I'm missing. Right. What am I missing, limits?
I don't think there's really is anything.
Why wouldn't you kick it out of bounds every single or kick it out of the end zone every single time like you already are?
Especially with how just different the format is in terms of how you're returning kicks and everything. It just seems so gimmicky.
Well, the thing to me is if you really wanted to make this something where if teams, you know, have to think about kicking it to the returner, I'd go even further, Joe. If you kick it out of the end zone, you get another 40.
Now would have incentive to return it every time.
Now it would
I would have bumped it by 5 yards. You're right.
Make it 40. Make it the 40 because then.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now you gotta know it really. Now you have to kick it, and you have to kick it to the returner and try and make a stop. But at the 30, I don't think that's all that punitive, honestly.
Paul Alexander has weighed in that the credit card you use usually covers the insurance. So thank you to Paul for weighing in. That's actually very helpful.
Yeah, you got to figure that out, yeah.
Now, Cordero, he is 33. And if you look at some of his numbers, and I know a lot goes into numbers, he only averaged 3.5 yards per carry last year. I know he's not playing running back here, but I'm just looking. That was down from 4.8, 4, 6.1 one year. He became more of a running back type in Atlanta under Arthur Smith. But that average plummeted. He has one kick return for a touchdown in the last 3 years, and his kick return average has plummeted. He came into the league. How old are you, Limits? When were you born?
2001.
He came into the league when you were 12. Imagine City Limits back there with a binky, Paul.
Yeah.
Doing the show a little bassinet.
At 12.
He was 12 years old. I think one of the things that's always incredible to me, honestly, is when they basically change a rule, and they make it worse. I don't think this makes it better, do you?
No, I agree 100%. Like, they either didn't change it at all or made it worse. Now, will there be more kickoffs returned? I guess only 22% of them were returned last year. But I don't think this is going to have the transformative effect. They complete whoever added in this, and it was a last-minute change, that touchbacks out of the end zone instead of going to the 35 will only go to the 30, just ruined everything. They ruined it. And I agree with you. It should be bumped up five. If you're going to have this radical, revolutionary change to kickoffs and really try to ramp up the excitement here, then make it then make them return the kick. Or make the kicking team kick it inbounds, you know?
Yeah.
With the penalty being the other team gets it at their 40. Now we're talking. This is nothing. I think it's going to add up to nothing. And this Cordarrelle Patterson, the excitement in some quarters yesterday over this guy. And again, he's been an awesome player, an awesome weapon. He's almost as old as Ron.
So here's the other thing that this does. Do you remember the Steelers versus Dallas Super Bowl with Bill Cowher?
Yeah, the onside kick, right?
That particular onside kick could not happen with these because you have to declare you're going to have an onside kick.
Let's declare the onside kick.
And the record. What is the city limits. No, I'm asking him to look this up. What is the percentage of onside kick recovery when the other team knows you're going to onside kick?
Almost zero. Let me jump in there.
It's like 2% or something. 1%. It's not
you
even.
You now have to announce your surprise attacks.
Yes.
Well, the success rate last year was 3.2%.
Right. And that included all of them, right?
Correct.
That
and
included
all of them.
And then
on the other end of it, they won't adopt this 4th-and-20.
Right.
So what do we got here? We've actually reduced the excitement factor in the game.
And you've taken away the one weapon a team might have, which is the surprise onside kick. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I don't like it. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Got a lot happening on today's show. We're three deep into a six-pack, starting with the next topic. We have the big boy, Mark Cabali. We have Starkey's Card of the Week with General Patton. We have Jeff Hathorn, who's at Pitt Spring practice today and can weigh in on all kinds of things. And we have John Parrotto on the Pirates, which should be quite interesting as we get ready for the Fighting Bailey Falters to open the season. And speaking of that, give me one here. What are we doing? What are we doing? How are we supposed to believe this is about winning when Paul Skeens is 5 hours down the road at Indianapolis and Bailey Falter is in your opening day rotation in a division, Paul, where everybody, A, thinks the division stinks, which means the winner's going to have probably in the mid-80s, which means every game is critical. If not Skeens, why not a free agent? You had Jordan Montgomery sign yesterday for $25 million. You had Sonny Gray, who won the Cy or was second in the Cy Young in the AL last year, signed with the Cardinals for a very reasonable rate, 3 years, $25 million a year. You pony up $25 million, your payroll's still bottom 10.
Yeah.
You couldn't go out and get – we're starting the season with Bailey Falter in the rotation. Really?
Well – and then, of course, there's the elephant in the room, Trevor Bauer, who you could get for nothing.
Right.
It really is disappointing. I'll tell you what's really disappointing about it is, how could they have been so far off or so poor at developing or working with Ronzi Contreras?
He is a major. I thought he was going to be maybe your number two pitcher.
And he's a disaster.
Beyond a disaster. And the only reason he's here is because he's out of options.
Exactly. So they have to keep him around. And so they need to hope that they can get something out of him as a bullpen piece. But imagine if I'd have told you, a year ago that Ronzi Contreras would be basically on the roster almost because, they don't want to give him up. They don't want to lose him, and he has no options, and that's the only reason he's on the roster, and he's in the bullpen, and Bailey Falter is in the starting rotation.
Right. The name itself just speaks to the whole offseason approach to this rotation. And, yeah, what about Contreras, and what have they done to Luis Ortiz? 2 years ago, I had Bob Walk on the air with us saying, I haven't seen a guy who opened my eyes like that making his Pirates debut since Gerrit Cole. And then last year, he comes out and he's throwing like Bailey Falter. What happened to him? And then they have Domingo Herman. They're willing to go out and take a dumpster dive on him. He's got more personal baggage than a fleet of UPS carriers. Limits. And I pulled that line out again. I used that on Barrasso a long time ago. He didn't like it.
No.
He came after me and challenged me to come on the ice and take shots on him.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought to myself, briefly, I thought to say, sure, I'll come out there, Tom, and I'll take one from half ice like Tom Fitzgerald did in the playoffs a few years ago, and then I thought better of it. What are we doing here? Why all these dumpster dives? Well, just go out and sign a real guy for once.
We're missing the big picture, though, Joe. And the big picture is, as we've talked about several times, this division is not going to take 95 wins to win.
No.
I think 87, 88 is probably going to be enough. And if you have 87 or 88, and you had, 75 last year, 76, you're not that far away.
Fangraphs has the Cardinals winning it with 83. 83. I was looking at a bunch of different sites and publications. Every other team in the NL Central is picked by somebody to win it. The Cardinals made some interesting moves, including Sonny Gray, for a very reasonable price. The Cubs probably have the best overall talent, if not the Reds, whose talent is a little younger. The Cardinals have some age creeping in. The Brewers always find a way, like the Rays. So even though they've been crushed here pitching-wise in the offseason, at least one person I saw pick them. Nobody is picking the Fighting Falters. Everybody is picking the Pirates to finish second last or last, mostly last.
Why not even Quinn Priester or Luis Ortiz? Like, Bailey Falter is not a guy that's going to be around a while or that you're willing to take a bet on like Quinn Priester.
It's just unbelievable. And the thing is, limits. The Pirates they're not boring at all. They could be pretty exciting. I kind of like their lineup. I'm very enticed by a left side of the infield with Key Brian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz. You know what you're getting from Reynolds. I actually like the addition of Michael A. Taylor because it gives you superior defense.
Yeah.
Sawinski's kind of an X factor. Davis is going to be interesting, if nothing else. Maybe a middle-of-the-order thumper type. Tellez is an entertainer. He might not be any – I don't know what's going to happen with him.
I like Triolo in a second.
He's Vogelback reincarnated.
The thing about Tellez, Rowdy Tellez, is that at PNC Park –
it could be fun.
If he gets 200 at-bats or 150, 200 at-bats at PNC Park, he's going to hit, 10, 15 home runs probably there. And then, you know, so I think he can hit 22, 23 home runs as a platoon player.
And he's fun to watch. So the lineup is, I think, going to be pretty entertaining. The bullpen has a chance to be absolutely lights out. But what good's a bullpen if you don't have a lead?
Well, the bullpen's got to get healthy, too, with Majinski and Holderman starting on the IL.
Thank you, Limits. Please crack one. Paul, we had Jake Ensel last night. We'll get to that in a moment. First, there's been a massive there are two overreactions in Pittsburgh sports here. One is to Cordero Patterson and the kickoff rule. The other is to the Penguins winning a game last night. Has anybody, and doing it in such a way that, why haven't they played these young guys all along? Look at how much spark they added. Yeah, I guess I agree to a certain extent, but did Carolina look all that interested to you? And they still had about an 80 to 40 shots advantage in attempts. Carolina is doing what the Penguins did for so many years when we get to late March. They're doing enough to be representative in games. But there's an internal clock with hockey players, and they know this ain't the time. This is an exhibition fight. They have heavyweight fights coming up. Right. This was like going out there with a sparring partner. You both got the headgear on. Nothing's real. And if you think Carolina was laying it on the line last night, you're out of your mind. And if they were, they would beat the Penguins 1,000 times out of 1,000 in a 7-game series within 4 or 5 games. So let's not read too much into it At least that's my take. What's yours?
The biggest thing is, you said it. I can't pronounce
that. Call him Needle.
Needle had 38 saves. And a lot of them were good saves. You know, like were tough, high danger type saves. So he played out of his mind. But, you know, give the Penguins credit. They played well. I agree with you, though. I mean, that's the tough thing about the end of this hockey season a lot of times. These games down the stretch, you know, it's hard to really gauge. The Penguins had a chance to do some damage to try and put themselves in position to try and get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And what they did, basically, was lose a bunch of games. They're not supposed to lose and put themselves in a position where, you know, now we can have
Bailey Falter.
No. Now we can have these moral victories and you know, and I love every time the Penguins win a game, there's a certain crowd that comes out of the woodwork and says, you see, this is it.
Right. Last night, the twist on that was, you see the young guys like Jonathan Gruden, why weren't they here? Yeah. This would have all been different. It wouldn't have, and the cupboard is still probably close to bare.
And the other part of it is, you see, these guys, they've got pride. Don't count them out. They're going to come. They're coming. Okay. All I'm saying is, I don't get that giddy when a team is basically out of it.
It's silly season right now. You can't believe anything you see. It's where the Pirates are every September. Don't believe what you're seeing.
Here's the other – yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And here's the other thing that you got to love about this, Joe. They play their next two games. Theoretically, they should get 4 points, right? Because they play a home-and-home against Columbus, who's terrible.
Right.
You think they're going to get 4 points?
No.
I bet you they get 3. That's my prediction. They'll get 3 out of these two games that they absolutely need 4 points out of. But then after that, they go at New York, at New Jersey, at Washington.
Yeah, they could – even if they won the rest of their games, it might still be troublesome. Limits, crack. Thank you. You're ahead of the game there. Do you have the Guentzel quote from last night by any chance? Or can I just reference it? Either way.
I have a couple of Guentzel quotes in general.
Hopefully the one where he's asked about coming back here in the summer. But first, Paul, what did you make of the Guentzel tribute video? The Penguins do those things very well.
Yeah. I think the Penguins, their tribute videos, I mean, think about what they did for Jágr. And
a 10 out of 10.
You know what I'm saying? And yep. And every seemingly the, you know, the 41 times they've done it now for Fleury, you know, I think it's always tremendous.
Yeah, they've perfected that one.
I thought it was tremendous. I think, you know, I mean, obviously he's a guy that everybody in that locker room, at least the guys that played with him, really, really like and respect and everything else. So you knew it was going to be good, and you knew the Penguins were going to do it right, and they did.
They always do. Now do we have Guentzel asked about the possibility of returning here as a free agent this summer?
Yeah, he talked about potentially coming back and also that he didn't want to leave to begin with.
I don't know. We'll see how this year goes. And, you know, I really like it, Carolina.
I really like Carolina, he said. And then you have another clip, Limits?
Yeah, he talked about that it was just not his intention at all to begin with to leave.
Well, yeah, my intention was to stay, but they just thought there was a better direction to go a different way, and it's out of my hands, so it's not my choice.
I believe him, Paul. I think he wanted to stay, and as to the first part, this summer, he ain't signing back in Carolina. I said that when it first happened, because if you know about the Hurricanes, you know they don't sign big deals. They throw around big contracts like manhole covers. There was a lot of talk like, oh, he's going to sign right away. No, he's not, and he's not going to sign back there unless he's willing to take a steep discount, and it seems to me this whole thing is about him not being willing to take a steep discount.
Well,
he's going to free agency. There's a small chance, I guess, he could sign with the Penguins. It's possible. Do you think so?
I don't. I kind of feel like it's that ship has sailed. And I think part of it is because the Penguins are probably going to look at the cost of it and say, we have better way, you know, we have more pressing needs than we could spend that money on, you know, a couple of players as opposed to one.
Yeah, you're probably I tend to agree. I still think there's a small chance that maybe Kyle Dubas is playing chess here. Maybe he loaned Jake Guentzel to Carolina and will work something out this offseason, especially if he could get rid of some of these other onerous contracts that he has. And that's a great word, limits. Please crack one more. That's okay. Reach into the salad drawer. I saved one in there for Paul. It's a tall boy. 16 ounces. Do you have it yet, limits?
The system is giving me trouble loading.
Do you know how to imitate a beer being cracked open? Just do anything with your voice. There you go. Thank you. Paul, this morning I wrote about Jeff Capel going on the air here yesterday and saying he's so sickened by not being in the tournament that he's not even watching it. And then I'm sickened by it too. Not necessarily that Pitt's not in it, but that Virginia was, and that the ACC and the Big East, which have a combined record of something like, 20-0?
Yeah.
18-1? I don't know what it is. They have a great record so far. Those two conferences were disrespected. And I can't get over the fact that Virginia got in. So I didn't want to just let it go. I wrote about it today, about what a horse crap decision that was to put them in. And about the fact, here's the crux of it for me. The crux of it for me is that they put as much emphasis on the exhibition season in November and early December as they do in the heat of the season in February and early March. And there's no way those two things should equal each other out. As Capel pointed out, I have a new team every year. A lot of teams do because of the transfer portal.
Right.
You can't judge teams in November. You just can't, because it's not really your team. You don't know what you have yet. Why not emphasize late season play? Why not?
Well, again, the Mike DeCourcy's of the world will tell you, well, it's because there's no correlation between winning at the end of the season and that carrying over into the tournament. But that to me is a really, really, really flimsy defense.
Look at NC State.
Well, it's not even about that. It's about teams that are playing well in the last 10, 12, 15 games of the season. They're playing against in conference, number one, so they're playing better teams than, for the most part, they're playing in November.
Yeah.
And like you said, they're completely different teams. They are completely different teams. Pitt was a completely different team in February than they were in November. And that's mostly because their two best players were true freshmen who needed to learn how to play, needed to figure out the college game. And it's absolutely silly to me. I don't think Virginia is the most egregious, to be honest. Utah State, I get it. They won the Mountain West Conference, okay? And this is to your point, Joe. Okay, let's go to Utah State real quick. And we've talked about TCU a bunch of times. I mean, that was a fraud as well. But let's go to the Mountain West regular season champs. Didn't win the tournament, so they weren't the automatic, they weren't the automatic qualifier. They didn't win the tournament. Here is their non-conference schedule, Joe.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yep.
South Dakota College of the Mines.
What?
South Dakota College of the Mines.
Like people who work in mines? Or
I
people
have no
who have
idea. I'm just reading this.
M-I-N-D-S or mines, M-I-N-E-S?
M-I-N-E-S.
All right.
Never heard of that.
You're really digging for something there. You like that horse?
Wait, yeah. Yeah, you like that? Yes. Hey, so Bradley, presumably without the guy that killed Pitt 15 years ago. Remember, what was that guy's name?
Oh, what was that guy's name? The big center.
Yeah, the big center.
I can't remember.
It was like Mick something or McDermott or Mick.
Yeah,
something.
He went early in the draft. McDavid, it was a total bust. Something.
Right, that guy. Right? So South Dakota College of the Mines, Bradley, Southern Utah, Marshall, who just fired their coach, Akron, Stephen F. Austin, St. Louis, Cal Irvine, San Diego, Northwest College of the Nazarene.
Mm. I wonder if they ever played the Mines School.
Santa Clara, San Francisco, and East Tennessee State. Now explain to me why Utah State got into the tournament.
Well, would you take away the automatic bid for winning your conference tournament? Didn't they win it?
No, they won the regular season, but they didn't.
Oh,
win.
Just the regular season.
Yes, that's my point. They weren't an automatic. They weren't an automatic qualifier.
No, then I hear you.
My point is, but they got propped up because they're in the Mountain West, because all these metrics.
When did the Mountain West get? Capel talked about that. How the Mountain West has figured something out with the metrics.
They have to because they got six teams in, and I'm looking at their six teams' resume. If you look at what the Mountain West did as a conference out of conference,
yeah,
I mean San Diego State had a few wins. I think that's about the only legitimate. You know what I mean? Nevada, I guess if you want to count, Nevada beat TCU, but again.
If you were going to choose another team from the ACC, if that was like, hey, we got to choose a fifth, it clearly should have been Pitt.
Absolutely.
Pitt and St. John's both look like really good teams that would still be playing right now. We can talk about this more, Paul. 412.
Well, Pitt, St. John's, I mean, Seton Hall.
Seton Hall.
There is a number of teams. I looked at Virginia, Utah State, and TCU as three of the most fraudulent teams
in the
whole entire field.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Man, that's appropriate for the next item on our six-pack here, Paul. You still having computer problems there, City Limits, or no? Can you crack one, or can you imitate the cracking?
Can you crack one?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's crack one.
Crack it.
Ooh, that sounds good. You're telling me that the NCAA president wants to ban what, Paul?
Okay, so the NCAA president...
I don't even know who it is these days. It's such an irrelevant, ridiculous organization.
I'm just going to read it right here.
Charlie Baker
said the NCAA will reach out to officials across the country and ask them to remove college prop bets from all betting markets. He claims college prop bets threaten the integrity of a competition and invite harassment to student athletes. I got to be honest with you. This cat is so far out of the bag, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, there are colleges that are in bed with gambling sites. And
of course.
You know what I'm saying?
The whole NCAA. So wait, so
prop
just
bets.
Picking a team wouldn't put guys in
right,
any kind
exactly.
of, but just prop bets.
Right. But what he's saying is, for instance, the situation.
Like the NBA thing.
Yeah, the situation we talked about yesterday with the Raptors guy. You know, at the end of the day, I'm in class, I'm walking out of class, and a guy comes up to me and says, hey, listen, you think you could, like, not
play?
Not hit. You think you could not score, you know, five or four? You know, you think you could not hit four three-pointers tonight? Just hit three and then leave it at three. And there'll be money for you. Well, it's no different than, hey, do you think that you can make sure that your team doesn't win by more than 10? Or whatever. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, as you say it like that, it starts to compute in my brain a little bit.
It probably is easier.
Now that easier because you can control what you do.
Right,
you can't
exactly.
necessarily control the team.
You can't,
so
but if
I
you're
guess,
the best, if you look at that Arizona State thing. Remember Arizona State, there was the big scandal.
Yeah.
And basically they got to the best player on the team, the guy who had the ball in his hands all the time, and they said, can you do this, and he did it like three or four times, and they got caught because they got greedy.
Yeah.
Because for the first time he did it, apparently he got $20,000 for it.
Right.
And he blew all the money. So the point I'm trying to make is, if you really want to do this, then you say, take college athletics completely off the board.
Mike, listen, man.
But you know why they would never do that?
Because of the money.
Do you really think, like, they're talking about the ratings for these games, you know, are out of their, you know, 8 million people watch it or whatever. You think the ratings would be the same if there was no gambling on it allowed?
Listen, it's a huge pile of money, and everybody, including me, has their hands in it, right? I do ads for a gambling site, and the Penguins have an arena because of gambling.
Right.
Like, everybody has their hands in the pile. So you're going to have to find a way, whether you're the NBA, pro football, college sports, to deal with this.
Right. Where was the Big East women's tournament this year? Do you know?
No. Vegas?
The Mohican Sun.
Atlantic City?
No, the Mohican Sun in Connecticut, which is a casino, one of the biggest casinos in the country. They had the Big East tournament was at the Mohican Sun. I think the Mountain West was in Vegas at one of the places.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have it both ways.
Here's the way that you have to deal with it in the end is when you catch people, and maybe this Michael Porter's brother who plays for the Raptors, if he's guilty, the punishment has to be beyond severe. Like, it has to be almost automatic, what do you call it, exemption, ban, a ban from the game. You're banned from that sport forever. Right. That's the way it has to be. But let's also not pretend that gambling issues haven't been around for forever. Forever.
Right.
Shoeless Joe Jackson, for God's sakes. You can go to Paul Hornung and... You know, there were concerns, probably unfair ones, with Joe Namath at one point. Remember? And there were Alex Karras, and it goes back as far as sports has been here.
I mean, that's the thing about it is, and there have been people that have been blackballed for it.
Yeah.
And lost their careers. You know what I mean?
Unfairly, what was Connie Hawkins?
I was just going to bring up Connie Hawkins. I think he's a guy that was unfairly blackballed.
This is part of society, for better or worse, and a lot of people think worse, and that's okay.
Right.
But it ain't going anywhere. Just like TV money, gambling money is not going anywhere. It's what the sport almost revolves. Besides TV money, it's becoming the cash cow for all of sports.
It's not just that, Joe. If you look at college, if colleges were taken off the boards, so you couldn't bet on college football, you couldn't bet on college basketball, you know what that would do to the ratings of those sports?
Yeah.
And you know what? That would probably also a trickle-down effect the attendance at those sports. And the other part of it is they would be completely taken out of sports books. So, like, if you went down on a Saturday afternoon to Rivers Sportsbook, there'd be no college football games on the screens.
How about the idea of betting during games when you're sitting at the game with your phone? Do you think, like, the ultimate worst-case scenario is that you're going to have thousands of people at games instead of booing and cheering the live action, like getting upset or cheering just what's going on their phone? Like some sort of...
I mean, that probably happens now.
1984 in terms of betting type deal?
Yeah, that probably happens now. I mean, if you think about it, and I think that's the biggest thing is that the NCAA has decided they like the money that comes from gambling. They like the exposure that comes from gambling. They like all of the perks of gambling. But they want us to know that, we can't have people shaving points, and we can't have this, and we can't have that, and the appearance of evil, and everything else, you can't have that. So, to me,
it's like
can't have it both ways,
right? It's like to me, it's like trying to take the violence out of boxing or pro football.
Right.
Like
right.
That's what it is.
Right.
It's a tricky situation. We got to move to the general, Paul. Our friend Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. We call him General Patton. And it's Starkey's Card of the Week, and your best chance to win that comes by going on our website, 937thefan.com, going to our contesting page around noon, Wednesday through Friday. General, again, thank you for all you did for us around the Feed the Need event. Totally, totally awesome what you did, both at your place and then yesterday calling in and making a generous donation. Let's take a guess at the General's Card of the Week. I'm going to go Little John Gruden. Who are you guys going with?
I'm going to go with somebody Like, who'd you say? John Gruden.
From the Penguins, Jonathan Gruden, that little guy that got in the fight last night.
I'm like, wait. I'm going to go with Bailey Falter.
Bailey Falter. He must have a rookie card. Limits, who you got?
I'm going to go with Jared Jones making the opening day roster.
I think you might win it there. General, what do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me on this opening day eve. Jared Jones autographed rookie card is what we're going with this week.
There we go.
Nice work, Limits. Nice work.
No Bailey Falter?
No, we could, but we're going to go with Jared Jones when he's topping 100 miles an hour. It's time the Pirates get a break from somebody that's a prospect who wasn't taken first overall.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got to have some of those guys hit, too. And General, you said that the coins I gave you last week, I never got back to you on this, and I apologize, were worth a decent amount of money, weren't they?
Yeah, except the one piece of fake gold.
There's a piece of fake gold in there?
Yeah, we got it back for you, but there was a piece of fake gold. The rest of it had some value.
What if it was real gold? Would I be a millionaire?
You'd be a lot closer.
Oh, my God. Did the guy think it was real gold at first, or did he know right away?
He knew right away. Didn't take much.
He was like, what's that movie with...
Yukon Cornelius, Rudolph.
What's that movie where the guy's the undercover agent, calls it a fugazi, and Al Pacino loses his mind?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Limits, do you know?
Come on. It's a...
General?
Johnny, I think is it Johnny Depp and Al Pacino?
I have no idea about movies, but I do have an idea when someone brings me a fake card.
Do you call it a fugazi?
That's not what I call it.
Do you know right away that a card is bogus?
Most times I could close my eyes and hold it, and I can tell. Wow. It's never about the picture. It's about the paper. You can't replicate 100-year-old paper. You can replicate a photograph. So usually it's about the texture of it more than it is about the appearance. So I can usually tell from a foot away. It isn't that big a problem, to be honest. It's blown over in this industry. I'm not sure about in the gold industry, but in cards, not that big a deal, and it's easy to tell.
Thank you, General. You're a wonderful man.
Welcome. Yep, you guys have a good day.
The name of the movie is Donnie Brasco. Did you ever see Donnie Brasco?
Is it good?
So is it Johnny Depp, I think, he's an undercover. It's a true story, actually, but he's an undercover informant that infiltrates the mob, and he's a jewelry expert.
I'm getting a good read these past 2 days on what kind of movies you really love. So, Rounders is another one. That's great.
That's a great movie.
Sort of the underworld. You're attracted to the underworld,
absolutely,
aren't you?
Absolutely. And so Al Pacino is trying to test him out because Al Pacino's he's a made guy. He's trying to test him out, so he brings him a ring that someone tried to sell to, or that someone who owed him money tried to give to him and say, hey, this is going to settle the debt.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp looks at it and says, that's a fugazi. And then, you what? He's like, you're talking to me like that? He's like, it's a fugazi.
I hope that's not a horrible word that he's saying, is
fugazi.
It?
No, fugazi. It's a fake.
No, it's a fake.
It's a fake. That's all. It's a fake. But it's just funny. You had a fugazi coin.
Man, I didn't even realize that was in there. It was just this bag of coins that I've had for years and years that I've always, one of those things, I'm going to get that appraised someday. And it's worth several hundred dollars at this place, but I thought it might make me a rich man where I'd be playing Pebble Beach maybe for the rest of my life. Instead, I'll have to settle for Florida for the next several days. All right, the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. That was Starkey's card of the week. Nice job there, Limits, with a Jared Jones piece. And I am excited to see this kid pitch. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I'm pumped. He's the second best arm, at least according to scouts and MLB Pipeline, behind Paul Skeens. So, I mean, not many people are better than Skeens, if anybody, right now. It's high praise for Jones.
Except for Bailey Falter, of course. Coming up. Paul, let's do our Pirate.
I think he was just like saying his name.
Because the name itself is just so representative of the approach to the rotation.
He should get a fault like a tennis serve every time he throws a bad pitch. Let me get another one, please.
Exactly. Did you know that love means nothing to a tennis player, Limits?
Apparently not.
Do you get that one?
No.
Paul.
love means nothing to a tennis player because love is nothing.
Love is 0 points.
0 points.
Oh, yeah, like 4D love.
Yes.
Remember those Wii Sports days?
Did you play that where you
yeah.
mimed the actual game, pantomimed it?
That's where I learned my little knowledge of tennis from Wii Sports.
There's yes. something really tragic about that game. You're standing in your living room. Like, there's something less tragic about actually playing a video game with a little controller. There's something highly just sad about standing in your living room swinging a tennis racket at an imaginary ball. Is there video of you doing this, Limits, there pretending might, to there, play sports?
Yeah, there might be one somewhere. It would be deep in the archives if so.
Wow. See, that's what's funny is a lot of these young kids, their exposure to a lot of sports is on video games.
They have video game scholarships. Do they have that at Waynesburg?
I don't know if it's a scholarship, but yeah, they got something now.
I think at Point Park they have what's it called? Virtual.
There's teams.
Esports
scholarships yes. and teams.
Yes, I think they have an esports team.
Do they have prop bets in those where you yeah. can?
Well, whose
phone is ringing? Limits. Is that you?
He has the mic on while the phone is ringing.
Right, and now we get to
good
hear.
Job.
Now we get to hear his conversation.
Yeah, good job.
Limits, turn off the phone. I mean, the mic. can you believe that? Do these people train?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they become.
Do they have weight room times and everything for esports?
No, I don't think they have that, but I would assume they have to practice, right?
I have to go to esports practice?
I have to go to esports practice. although.
Limits, get off the phone. We need your expertise as a kid. What?
Although I would think that you could practice in your room, right?
You would think you could practice pretty much anywhere
yeah.
on your phone.
That's what I would tell you. I don't know. It
seems what does the world come? I would have been an expert on that. I could have gotten a scholarship in video games. Remember the game Pong where it was just a little dash?
Yes.
And he would hit the ball, tennis what, ball
what,
back
what,
and
what
forth?
What was your best video game?
Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo.
Yeah.
The first one or the second one?
The first ever one with Walter Payton.
I was really, really good
like
at Super Tecmo Bowl.
With Bo Jackson?
Yes. Yeah. But the game I think I was the best at, you probably don't even remember, was Pitfall. Do you remember that game?
No.
It was a stupid game where a guy was like, it was like, you know, a guy going through the woods basically, and you were trying to like
kill him.
You know, you would get points for like finding the treasures.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know what
yeah.
I mean?
And there yeah, was I all remember kinds that of, game.
There was, you know, you had to jump up and swing across the crocodile pit and all that other stuff. All that stuff, yes. Yeah.
Now, do you know anybody, Limits, who is on an esports scholarship?
No, Waynesburg doesn't have, like, as a D3 school, actual scholarships. But
yeah, but they have a department,
they
I think.
They do. There is a department. There's do training, workouts for the esports team.
What, like wrist workouts?
Something like that.
Could you have played? Did you know our boss, Craig Riley, was once in a national Madden competition?
I can believe it.
He was like an expert Madden player.
I can believe it.
He could have gotten a full ride to USC. Yeah.
Rigorous training for esports.
I can believe that because if you ever listened to Craig when he was the producer for the afternoon show, he was all about video games and betting.
So how about somebody just called this extra phone back here that's never rang once when I was here? That's why I was all frazzled and confused.
Who was it?
They were like, hey, I want to report a news tip. I'm here. Something's going on. I mean, did you mean to call us? He's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, call.
What was the tip?
Call AM.
What did he say?
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
We have to go, Paul. It's after the hour.
Wait, what was the tip?
He doesn't know.
He didn't get to it because I told him to call the 866-391-1020. Call
KDK.
There
could have been somebody in danger, city limits. You have to answer the tip and then run over there.
You got to be a news guy. You got to be a news hound.
You
just like
be
this
a
guy
savvy
over here,
old
be a news hound.
Hound.
You want the news. We could have broken news here on this
news,
show.
And you failed.
You screwed it up.
Apparently so.
Poor little limits, Paul. Are you ready to predict the Pirates season? Breakout player, MVP, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment. Who's going to lead the team in home runs, RBIs, steals, wins, and strikeouts? Will Shelty be here? Will Chapman, Gonzalez, and Perez be here? Paul Skeens before May 1st. Paul Skeens by Memorial Day. Will Pirates be buyers or sellers at the deadline?
There was a lot you threw at me there.
You want to do that next?
That's what we're going to do next. I thought you said that.
Yeah, we will. I was asking if you wanted
to do
that
next. Yes, we're absolutely going to do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.